I want to welcome you to Central today, you here in the sanctuary and you online as well, to Central Presbyterian, where we seek transformation through the renewing work of the Lord Jesus. This Advent, we are studying Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and asking the question, who is this God who says he cares so much about us? We're examining the titles given for Lord Jesus in that verse, in chapter 9, verse 6, that Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the wisdom that will never lead us astray. He is the mighty God, the one who took on flesh as a fragile baby to save us. We sang a moment ago, what child is this? This morning we see that he is also an everlasting father. We're going to study this using Psalm 103, asking the question, what does fatherly compassion truly look like? And how does it change our lives? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, hear God's word. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Down to verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and exalt Jesus in our eyes. Let us see him and worship him, and may we be changed as we are in your presence. We pray it in the name of the living Lord Jesus. Amen. Some of you have heard me tell the story before about my daughter Emma, who's now a senior in high school. When she was 2 or 3 years old, she was trying to come up with something really important, really encouraging that she could say about Missy. She wanted to just encourage her and pick out just the right thing, exactly the right thing. And you could see her little mind working and her brain turning, and finally she came up with it. It was like a light bulb. And she said, Mommy, you are a good forgetter. That's it. That was her great encouragement. You are a good forgetter. And so am I. And so are you. That's why we need a Jesus who is described as an everlasting father, whose compassion never runs out. His compassions will never fail. His love for us as his children will never be forgotten. That's what I want us to focus our time on in Psalm 103 today. What we tend to forget and what the Lord Jesus always remembers. First, what do we tend to forget? Well, we're commanded in verses 1 and 2 of our psalm. It's like the psalmist is talking to himself. He's giving himself commands. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen, soul, bless the Lord, and don't forget any of his benefits. He's insistent. You might remember that the Psalms were songs that God's people would sing. He's singing to himself to encourage his own soul to remember what God has done, and we have to be insistent about it because we so easily forget. We so easily forget all that God has done, especially when life is hard, like it is for so many right now. When we remember our troubles so easily, we forget all that God has done. Our eyes and our hearts clouded by our troubles, our latest struggles and difficulties, and we forget. So the psalmist says, remember, Sing these things of what God has done. It's like you're grabbing yourself up by the scruff of the neck and saying, soul, remember. Remember all that God has done. Now, the psalmist isn't being Pollyanna. He's not saying, forget all the hard stuff in your life. Pretend like those wounds that you've experienced aren't real. That's not what he's saying. Those things are easy to remember. They stick with us. They stick in our hearts. But he's saying, alongside all these hard things that you remember, be sure not to forget all that God has done for you. Because it's true that the secret of trusting the Lord for your future is being clear-eyed about all he's already done for you in the past. That's the secret. That's how we shape our hearts to trust the Lord in the future, is being clear-eyed and open-hearted about all that he's already done for us in the past, and he keeps on doing right now. As the psalmist tells us to remember these benefits, they're all present tense. He's doing it now in us, in the past, and even in this moment. He forgives all of your iniquity. The word is for willful rebellion. All those times that you've shaken your fist at the Lord and said, I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what you have called me to do. All those times you're angry with God, you've been bitter against the Lord. Remember, he forgives you. Time after time after time. He's still doing it. Verse 12 adds to it. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. What an immeasurable distance. An immeasurable distance between the heavens and the earth. An immeasurable distance between east and west. Just imagine yourself standing on the eastern horizon and you look and face west. And you see as far as you can see. And the Lord said that incalculable distance is how far I've removed your sin from you. In Christ's blood, because he went to the cross for us, because he has loved us, he's faithfully and fully forgiven us, we have a permanent forgiveness, a permanent removal of all of our guilt, never to be counted against us again. When things are hard, the psalmist says, don't forget that he forgives, and he forgives, and he forgives, and he keeps on forgiving. Not only that, but he's the one who heals your diseases. That's a word for not just bodily ailments, but more broadly, your inward and emotional stress and diseases and outward diseases. He heals them. Now, sometimes it happens in this life. Other times it happens when we see him face to face. But your diseases will all be healed, every last one of them. He redeems your life from the pit, he said. He lifts you out of the dire and disastrous circumstances either you've worked yourself into or you found yourself in. He redeems us. He buys us back by the blood of Christ. He calls us out of those disastrous places in the pit. He gives us life. He says he crowns you. Think of what a crown means. The crown demonstrates that you're royal. The crown demonstrates to anyone who sees your dignity, they see your value, and the crown that God has placed upon your head is woven out of steadfast love and mercy. The crown that sets you apart. The crown that demonstrates you are royal, you are a child of the king. That crown is woven of love and compassion and mercy. He satisfies you with good. He renews your strength. Soul, don't forget all these benefits of belonging to God. That's what the psalmist is saying. Like, I know when things are hard, they're easy to focus on. They're tragic. We sometimes build a shell around our heart of hardness. But in those moments of hardship, the psalmist would call us, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember all the ways that your everlasting Father has cared for you in the past, and he's caring for you right now, and he's an everlasting Father, so he won't ever give up. Some of you are in that place right now. 2020 has become a swear word in your vocabulary. It's been so terrible. And here we are at Christmas, and the last thing you want to hear is all the merrymaking, all the singing about joy in a terrible year. If you're feeling like that, then hear the voice of Jesus in this psalm this morning. He says, in the voice of an everlasting Father, I love you and I will never give up on you. He's the one who always loves, who always can be depended upon. There might be dozens of people who've given up on you in your life. You may have heard it from their voices. I've had it. I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I have to step out. But friends, Jesus will never be one of those people. He's an everlasting Father who never gives up on his people. And so what this psalm is doing to us is it's encouraging us to say, don't forget anymore, soul. Don't forget, but remember all that God has done for us. And so I want to encourage every good forgetter in this congregation today. Whether you're in this room or you're online this morning, I want you to go home this afternoon and pray through the first five verses of this psalm. I want you to go home and name before Jesus all the iniquities that he's forgiven you. Just think of all the things that you've done. The ways that you've shaken your fist at the Lord, the way that you've been angry and bitter with him in various seasons, lay them all out before him and remember that he's forgiven you. And then list out the diseases you've experienced. Diseases of mind, diseases of body, diseases of soul. List them out one by one and thank the Lord that he's delivered you from those. He's forgiven, he's healed. And then when you're in the pits, all the pits of life that he's dragged you out of, name them. Remind yourself of all that God has done for you. And then all the ways that you felt ashamed, and he's restored your sense of dignity by crowning you with loving kindness as he's invited you close. Remember those times when you felt ashamed and you felt like, I can't come before the Lord, but you felt his love drawing you close. Remember those times, pray those times, and let the Lord renew the hope and lift your heart. Friends, because the truth is, the secret of trusting the Lord with your future is remembering what he's done in the past and remembering what he's doing right now in you. He keeps on loving. He keeps on loving. He keeps on loving because he's a faithful, everlasting Father. The things you tend to forget, the psalmist says, remind your heart of those things. Psalmist has focused our attention on all these things that we so easily forget, and now he turns to God. And he has a similar pattern. There are things that God forgets too, but there's one thing he always remembers. Look at verse 10. It says, he does not deal with us according to our sins. Verse 12, he doesn't remember our sins. He sets them as far as the high heaven is from the earth, the east from the west. He doesn't remember them. In fact, he steadfastly refuses to remember your sin. Isn't that amazing? God is a good forgetter too. He forgets about your sin. Now, there may be people in your life that you felt like they've been keeping a list. And they're ones that check it twice. And they're going to make you pay for it. Have you ever had somebody like that in your life? You feel like they're just keeping a list of all the wrongs that you've done in their life, all the ways that you've hurt them. They're making a list, and they're going to make sure that they pay you back one day. You've hurt them, they're going to hurt you too. People will treat you that way. But if you're a child of God, he never will treat you like that. If you're a child of God, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you've believed in your heart that he was nailed to the cross for you and he was raised from the dead in victory, if that's your confession, you are in Christ, God never will hold your sin against you again, ever, because it's been paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He forgets all of our sins, but not only does he forget those, he remembers something forever. Look at verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He will always remember his compassion toward you. That word compassion, Hebrew scholars tell us, is a word of deep emotion. It's an intimate word. It's a word that describes the emotional connection between God and his people. Between you and Jesus, you are bound together in this emotional bond, and we are commanded to sing about the love of God, all the ways that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, feels about us. We're commanded to sing. Isn't that incredible? I know what some of you are probably thinking. Clay, remember this is a Presbyterian church. We don't do that. Emotional singing and Presbyterian, that doesn't go together. We're the frozen chosen. But God never got that memo. He describes how he feels about you with incredibly deep emotion. He calls us to sing back to him with that same emotion, the connection that we experience with God, even in the middle of our weakness. Verse 14 says, he knows that we're dust. That's why he calls us to sing. He knows all about your weakness. He knows every one of your needs. He knows your frailty. He knows your faults. He knows your foibles. And instead of that weakness making him draw back from you, he says, because of that weakness, he is drawn in close to a deep emotional connection, a living bond, like a father is drawn to his child when his child is in distress. That's how God feels about you. Fathers, who of you in this room can stand it when you hear your own child cry out in pain? Who can stand it? It's almost too difficult to bear. That's the way this psalm says Jesus feels about you in an infinitely greater capacity. He knows your weakness. He knows your need. He knows that we are simply dust. And yet he's drawn to us with a compassion that never fails. That's how he feels about you. In the Barcelona Olympics in 1992, there was a British 400-meter sprinter. His name was Derek Redmond. And when this race was happening in the Olympics, he was running really well. I mean, he was the record holder at the time. As he was running that race, he was beginning to pull out front. And then in a moment, everything tragically changed. His hamstring tore. He collapsed to the ground, shouting and crying in pain. You can watch the video on YouTube if you may not remember it. This man, Derek Redmond, got up. And he began limping. Everybody else had already finished the race. But he was limping toward the finish line. Derek Redmond was not the only one who got up. Redmond's father, Jim, was in the stands that day in Barcelona. And when he saw his son go down in the race, Jim, the father, got up. And he ran down onto the track. And all the security personnel were there trying to keep him from running onto the track. But Jim apparently is a pretty fierce guy. And nobody was going to keep him from his son. He ran onto the track in the Olympics, came alongside his son, grabbed his arm, and threw it around his shoulder. And they began to limp together. And the race officials kept pestering him. Do you need anything? Do you need anything? And you could see the father getting more and more irritated. You can read his lips. At one point he said, "Get back," as they limped along. It's a beautiful moment. This son's torn body draped across his father's strong shoulders. And together they crossed the finish line in the Olympics. That's compassion. That's what the Bible means when it describes compassion. It's not just a feeling from a distance. It's not just a father remaining in the stands and watching his son in anguish. Biblical compassion is when someone sees the problem and moves into action. It gets down in it in the problem, gets down in the pain, gets hands dirty and shoulders the load with someone. That's biblical compassion, like a father carrying a son across the finish line. Or as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, who reverence him, who honor him. And friends, that's the character of the child, the king who came for you and me that Isaiah prophesied about. Jesus, the Son of God, didn't just have compassion on you, a feeling and from the comforts of heaven. But he felt the full weight of your sin. He felt the weight of your soul, the weight of your suffering, and compassion drove him down. Compassion drove him down into Bethlehem, into what was probably a hollowed out cave underneath Joseph's relative's house. Compassion drove him down into a place that was only fit for animals to stay. Compassion drove him down into a dirt floor in a hewn out spot in the rocks for him to be placed. Compassion drove him down into a family that was dirt poor. Compassion drove him down to crawl into your weakness today. To crawl into your guilt and your judgment and take it upon himself. Jesus, in his compassion, is more than a feeling. He sees your sin. He sees your need. He sees your frailty. And Jesus has come down to where our need is to intervene. He has come not only to a manger, but he came to get his body and his life dirty with your sin and mine as he went to the cross. He came down into our deepest and darkest need, the thing that would kill us, the thing that would take us out and separate us from God forever. Jesus' compassion drove him down into that mess of our lives so that he might carry us across the finish line to heaven with him one day. All because you're his precious child. All because he is an everlasting father. That's what kind of God Jesus is like. He's not the type that loves to help those who can help themselves. The biblical Jesus is one who sees the busted and the broken, and in tenderness, he moves in. In compassion, he comes down into your life and mine, into our tender places, our wounded places, that he might lift us up to be with Christ forever. There are several scenes in the Gospels where we see Jesus behave like this everlasting Father, the one who has compassion that won't stop, and he loves the people that we tend to think aren't worth it, the people we've given up on, think are hopeless cases. That's where Jesus goes, right to that spot. Maybe one of the ones that speaks the most to me of that kind of compassion comes in Mark chapter 1. Verses 40 and following, where there was a leper that came to him and imploring him and knelt before him and said, "If you will, if you care, you can make me clean." And the gospel says, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He touched the leper and says, "I will, I care, be clean." Was being moved by compassion, that the God who came down, the God who took on flesh, did something that was scandalous. You might know that in those days, lepers were unclean. They looked at this disease that if someone ever touched them, the uncleanness, the disease would infect the person who did the touching. To touch a leper was to become like them. But Jesus, the one who was moved with compassion, who moved with an emotional connection with that broken down person of a leper, he intervened and he touched him. And when Jesus touched that man, it went the other way. Instead of the infection coming to Jesus, Jesus' purity, Jesus' cleanness, his grace, his touch of compassion healed the leper. The infected man was healed by the compassion of Christ. He does the same thing for you and for me. He comes into our lives. And the ones that nobody else will touch, Jesus does. The lives that are too broken down, the lives that are too busted up, Jesus moves in because nobody is too sinful. No one is too broken that Jesus can't step in and heal. Maybe that's your story. Maybe that's something for which you need to praise the Lord for today. Remember what you were like when Jesus moved into your life, grabbed hold of you, and saved you because he loves you. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you've begun to think, they're just too far gone. They're just too sinful. They've just done too much in their life. They're a hopeless case. Remember this Father of compassion, this eternal, everlasting Father, this man of compassion who loves to move in to lives that are broken, and he never gives up. He has stooped down to enter our lives, ravaged by our sin, and bring us clean before the throne of God by his blood. Ephesians 2 puts it this way: God, being rich in compassion, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By the blood of the Lord Jesus, he has touched us and made us clean, made us holy, As Randy was talking about, it's the blood of Christ that we claim when we confess our sin. The blood of Christ washes us clean. The blood of Christ makes us holy in His sight. And it is the blood of Christ that will make us eternally happy. But the sad truth, friends, is that other people will give up on you. Other people will betray you. Other people will let you down because our compassions fail. Sometimes the nature's just so great, people's problems are so deep, and they're so persistent that we just get worn out. There's a thing called compassion fatigue. It happens to caregivers. It happens to counselors. Compassion fatigue. I just can't do it anymore. But friends, there is one who loves. There's one who has an everlasting love like a father, a never giving up kind of love, who feels your pain. He's moved into your life, into those tender places, those vulnerable places, and He offers healing. And He says, I will always love you. The only person that describes is Jesus. Don't expect out of another human being this level of compassion you can expect only from Jesus. It's like putting a yoke around their neck. It will drag them down. But look to Christ. Look to the one who will never fail you to lift you out of the pit. Because this Jesus is the one who stoops from heaven, went to the cross, and crawls into your life right now. Who carries you home safely to heaven. It's His love that is the kind of love. It's His compassion that's the kind of compassion of an everlasting Father. Jesus' storybook Bible puts it this way. God rescues us, no matter what, time after time, over and over again, because of His never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That is your Savior who's come for you. We might be good forgetters. But Jesus never forgets His love. He never forgets His compassion because He went all the way in from the cradle to the cross. And His mercy won't stop now. He's an everlasting Father. Will you trust Him? Will you remember all that He's done and trust Him today? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You are this kind of loving God. We are so grateful that You sent the Lord Jesus into our lives to demonstrate this kind of compassion, to touch the untouchable, to love those whom others would say are unlovable. You have moved into this world to lay hold of our lives, and we say thank You. You have given us life that we could never find on our own. You've given us compassion that we can never sin our way out of. You've given us a love that goes on and on and on into eternity, and You'll never give up on us. So, Lord, we ask that today You would enable us to trust You more. We who've walked with You for a while in our lives and our eyes are clouded by all the challenges that we face, would You open our eyes to see the Lord, the everlasting Father, who loves us and will never stop. If there are any within the sound of my voice here this morning, who don't know You, who don't know that compassion, may today be the day of salvation. Would You move within them, Lord, to confess their sin and their need and know that You will come rushing in with the gift of eternal life. Do it, we pray today, Father. Encourage us and lift our eyes to see You, the everlasting Father, in Christ's name.